Happy Sabbath. It is always a great privilege and honor to be given this responsibility. Sorry that it comes from someone else's misfortune, but I do have a message that I've had ready for quite some time. I gave you part of it the last time I was preaching. Do you remember what it was about? It was about three keys to success. And I hear that noise, and just however it can. There. Three keys to success as a Christian, how we can be victorious, overcoming Christians. And the first part that I talked about was knowing your purpose in life, if you remember. If you know what your purpose, what your purpose of in life is, then you can begin to progress. You can begin to start doing that which God has called you to do. The second part is what I'm going to do today. And the first one was knowing, and the second one is growing to reach your maximum potential. And I want to pray again right now. Heavenly Father, there are so many things that can distract us as we journey on this way. So many things to catch our attention and to get us not to look at you as closely as we should and to follow your example as we should. Give us, Lord, an undivided mind, a purpose beyond just knowing what we need to do, but give us a determination to go about doing it. And this is what we ask, this is what we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We are going to talk about growing to reach your maximum potential. Once we know what we are supposed to do, then the Bible says that we are to grow in grace and in the further knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the scripture that you heard read is talking about what Peter said when confronted with the fact that he was in the garden with Jesus, and then he was warming himself by the fire in the courtyard where Jesus was being put on trial. And Jesus had told him that you are going to deny me three times. Not only did Peter deny Jesus three times, but the third time he cursed and he swore. And a lot of people do not understand the power of the tongue. That out of your innermost being come forth the issues of your life, and what you are in your heart will eventually come out. And what we want to do is perfect our Christian character so that what is in there is good and pure and holy and right, so that when whatever comes out of our mouth is a blessing and not a cursing. You see, a curse is, and I have a definition of it, it may not be what you think it is, but a curse is a declaration of something that is wrong. In other words, it's wrongful instruction. It's not just saying something that is wrong, but it's a wrongful instruction. If you tell somebody to go to the hot place, you are giving them wrong instruction. This is not the kind of person you want to be. You do not want to tell people negative things so that their growth will be stunted. Paul said, I want you to be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. So then we have to understand that we are to be a blessing wherever we go, and that what we say must bring blessing and enlightenment and growth and edification rather than putting people down, making them feel awful, and stunting their spiritual growth. We have that power within us. And so what it boils down to is being converted over and over and over again, because when we go to bed at night, we may put to rest, the sinful flesh. But when we get up in the morning, we might have prayer before we went to sleep, and got everything all straightened out and didn't let the sun go down upon our wrath and got everything right with the person next to us and went to sleep with peaceful sleep. But the next morning, we got up and the old man got up with us and began to manifest himself very quickly in the day. So we have to daily die. We have to daily put that flesh down and allow Christ to be formed in our lives. St. Augustine said, God provides the wind, but we must raise the sails. Everything for your salvation has been provided for you, but you must implement those things. There are so many people that say, there's really nothing that we have to do. Jesus did it all. He paid it all. There's no more that you can do to add to or take away from your salvation. I beg to differ. Turn to 2 Peter. I want to read some things to you. 2 Peter. Let's find it first. There's the first epistle. Now let's go to 2 Peter. If you think there's nothing you need to do after you come to Christ, you are living in a dream world. There is much to be done to develop your character and prepare you for heaven and help you on this spiritual journey. We are growing to reach our maximum potential. And it's 2 Peter. Verses 5 to 7. Chapter 1, 2 Peter, verses 5 to 7. Listen to this. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. I thought you didn't have anything to add, that faith was enough. Faith alone in Christ alone, isn't that true? No. Once we have saving faith, then we must put it into practice. And this is what he wants us to add to our faith. Add to your faith virtue. Do you know what virtue is? It's what the lion got in Oz. Courage. You need courage to live a real, true, converted Christian life. It takes courage. It takes intestinal fortitude. And that's cleaned that up pretty nicely, isn't it? You know what that means. You need courage. You need virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Oh, is there more? And to knowledge, temperance. Now, what is temperance? Self-control. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Self-control. And to temperance, patience. Aren't we done yet? No. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And here's the conclusion of the matter. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did you notice the order of things? One leads to another. If you get the faith, then you begin to become courageous and step out and begin to do the things that God asks you to do. You get the patience. Well, wait, what was it? Virtue. And virtue knowledge. You begin to grow by reading your Bible, by prayer, by Bible study, by practicing what we preach. These things begin to be formed in you. And to knowledge, temperance. Once you know the right way to live, you should start living moderately. Because part of the gospel is the health message. Did you know that? Amen. Well, it is. Because part of this message is grace. Grace means that you have to grow, and your knowledge, and then in the knowledge to temperance. Because knowledge brings you to the temperance message. And when you know to do something and you do it not, to you, it is a sin. All right. Patience. Oh boy. We have to be patient with folks, don't we? I need people to be patient with me. I need a lot of indulgence because I make a lot of mistakes. But if you be patient with me, wait till you see what Jesus does with me. Wait till you see what I'm going to be. If I look at you and I look at you the way you are, I might become discouraged. But if I look at you the way Jesus looks at you as what you will be, then I'm encouraged. Because there's some great people here, some people that are mighty in the kingdom of God. They're like Gideon. They might be hiding behind the, you know, something because they don't realize that God has picked them for a special purpose, and they've got to be about doing their Father's business. And only when they begin to do that will they start to be feeling fulfilled and successful as a Christian. You got to get up and go. And I didn't mean for you to leave, sister, but when you have to get up and begin doing the things that you know to be right. We're talking about growing to reach your maximum potential. It takes some doing. You don't just sit there and let it happen. Some people are waiting to be inspired or waiting for something to move them. Well, nothing will move you if you won't get up and move yourself. God has given you all the tools that you need to be a successful Christian, to be a victorious Christian, to be an overcomer. You got some things to overcome. I've got some things to overcome. But that should not discourage us from going forth boldly proclaiming the message that Christ is coming soon, that you need to get ready. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it is being formed as I speak. You are being formed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? His kingdom is becoming perfected in each one of us who yields a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more to the urgings of the Holy Spirit. I like our Sabbath school lesson today. Oh, wasn't that interesting? Wasn't that fun to talk about? We can be mighty for God if we don't get distracted by so many petty things. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that matters. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And He has given us all the tools we need to reach our maximum potential if we will only get up and get at it. I know what my mission is. Do you know what your mission is? Do each of you know what your God has asked or told or instructed you to do? Then we need to grow. And we need to add to this. We need to add to our patience, godliness. Godlikeness. And that only comes from allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to produce fruit in your life. We are not like some folks who are looking for spectacular miracles and manifestations and outward shows of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are given to the church to profit withal. Each of us has been given a particular gift, and if we will use it in the kingdom of God, we will prosper, the church will prosper, we will grow, Jesus will come sooner. It is only because we are not ready, that things have not been done, that those of you that have been called to specific things have held back and have not allowed God to work in your life, that certain things have not happened and He has not come back. I want to be the one that wins the last soul to Christ before He comes. What a privilege, what an honor to be the one that wins that last person. And we can do it. See, God does not force anybody to serve Him and to love Him. But He has given us the assignment to try to make the presentation to the world that this is the way to be. This is the way to go. Here it is. This is the path. Walk ye in it. Show them. Teach them. Be the example that we need to be so that others will want what we have. So far, no good. So we can change that. Maybe you failed. Maybe you've tried and then you go do something stupid or say something stupid and blow the whole day by one dumb remark. Don't give up. Start again. Ask God to forgive you and get out there and get at it again. If we were worried about hypocrites coming to church, none of us would be here. Sorry. But you have to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. And so many people say, I'm not going to that church because there are hypocrites there. Well, there are hypocrites everywhere. So you're not going to go to the theater because there's hypocrites in the theater? You're not going to go to the NASCAR races because there's hypocrites there? What difference does it make where the hypocrites are? You need to come to church and get right with God. Excuses, excuses, excuses. There are so many excuses not to do. Don't you get tired of hearing those excuses? People don't like the pastor. They don't like this person. This person didn't speak to them, so I'm not going to that church no more, you poor thing. It's up to each individual to be the Christian and not worry about what the other one is doing. If you want people to be friendly with you, you be friendly. If you want people to love you, love. Show a little Christianity here. Show a little Christianity here. Be like Him. How did He possibly get along with all the publicans and sinners? Because He knew the honest ones. He knew those that if they had a chance, they would change their ways. And some of us, we just don't know how to get out of the dilemmas that we're in. But Christ is the answer. Jesus knows your heart. He knows where you're at. And He wants to help you step up to the plate. It's your turn to get up at bat. Now go run the bases. Get a home run. Take that football and run through the end zone. Come on. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know, when you get this godliness, you get brotherly kindness. You begin to appreciate your brother and your sister. You're kind to them. You're considerate. You kind of forget about you and begin to think about others. It is a complete everyday journey's goal of mine to empty myself of self. And I wake up selfish every day, and I have to do it again today, and I'll have to do it again tomorrow, because mainly and mostly I look in the mirror and who do I see? I see me, and that's the person that's most important in my life. Until I think it over and think, no. The most important person in my life is Jesus Christ, and He emptied Himself of self. If I look at myself in the mirror, I'm going to get discouraged because it's falling apart as I watch. It's deteriorating. But in my heart, I know there is hope, because should this body be dissolved, yet I have hope in the resurrection, that one day this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortality shall put on immortality. Some people believe that when you die, you're instantly resurrected. Yeah. Gene went to a funeral this week where they They celebrated the life, the death, and the resurrection of the person that they were talking about. Well, I'm sorry, it wouldn't have been appropriate for any of us to say anything about it at that particular time and place, but between you and me and the gatepost, that person has not been resurrected yet. There's only the hope of the resurrection. If we die in Christ, we have this hope. Hope in the resurrection of the Lord. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts. Faith in the promise of His Word. Isn't that the truth? That's why we sing that every time, because we believe the time is near. Yes, don't we? Well, all those that said amen, I've got it. But to our brotherly kindness, beginning to care about others and getting self out of the way, then comes the top of the rung is called, in my translation, charity, but it is love. And that is not just a cheap any kind of love at all, but that is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I want to be the best Christian that I can possibly be. And the only way I can do it is I must allow Christ to live in me. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And how do I die? I put myself out of the way and let Him live and express Himself through these unworthy lips. When I come into a business and I want to ask them for money, I got to have a smile on my face. I got to show them the joy of the Lord, or they're just going to look at me as another beggar. Oh, but how do you get yourself up for it 30, 40 times a day when 90% of the time they say no or later on, and very few of them actually put money in your hand? You treat them all as if they gave you $100 each. Because one day it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. Just to behold His face. And to see Him. And, oh, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I do not want to hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Or, "Depart from me, you unprofitable servant." For that's all we are. No matter what we do, no matter how much we may think we are doing in the kingdom of God, all our doings is nothing. Paul said, "I count all the accomplishments and all the things that I've been through and all the things as dung. It's nothing, only that I might know Him. Only that I might know Him. Only that I might know Him." And to share in the glory of His resurrection. We can become partakers of the divine nature. Did you know that? Because He has promised. And remember the blessings. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh my goodness. That's the tongue again. Remember, you know that the first one that cursed in the Bible was God Himself. He cursed the serpent. He cursed the ground. And He cursed womankind with childbearing and pain. Not that the childbearing would be what the curse was, but the pain involved. It was a reminder of what they had done. But Jesus came and He began to bless. And He began to say, "Blessed are these that do this, and these that do that. Blessed are this." And we need to begin to start blessing others with our lives, with our lips, and encouraging others, and not tell them how stupid they are, or not tell them that I forgot more than you'll ever know, or you're so dumb, or say stuff like that to people. That is wrongful instruction. Do not curse people. If you've had a generational curse in your family where your great-grandfather was an alcoholic and your grandfather was an alcoholic and your father was an alcoholic, do you need to be an alcoholic? You can break generational curses by beginning to be a blessing and by declaring with your lips that you believe in the living Christ. And with your words and with your deeds, Break the curses and begin the blessings. This is how you will reach your maximum potential. If you stop listening to the garbage of the world, begin to read your Bible and begin to pray every day and begin to live the life in front of other people, then you will be successful. And your success depends on how you live right now and then, not whether you reach heaven or not. If you live right now and then the way you're supposed to, heaven is a foregone conclusion for you. Success is, what will I do for Christ today? And it's not hard. A little child can do this. You know that. It doesn't take anybody great to preach. A little child did it before. They've done it on occasion in this pulpit. It's what you say. It's how you live. It's your conversation, your way of life that speaks volumes to the world. You can do it. You can do it. Each of you can be great in the kingdom of God if you will just do the little thing that he's asked you. You see, he's given each one of us a measure of faith, the Bible says. And when you use that little measure of faith that he's given you, he will give you more. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Speak those kind of words. Encourage people. Tell people, well, you know what? You might have had some problems in the past, but I believe in you. I think that you can rise above this. I'm praying for you. I'm asking God to give you the strength to do the things that you need to do to be a successful Christian. That's what it's all about, folks. We need to pursue personal growth as a Christian as a lifestyle. Just as ardently as we served the devil and went out there and partied and did all the things that we used to do, we need to turn the other way, go the other way, and distance ourselves from that lifestyle as far away as we can get as possible, not as close to the world as possible, as most Christians do, but as far away from the world as we can be, and not short of leaving the world altogether. We are not of this world, but we are in this world for a purpose. That is to bring Christ to anyone who will receive him. We can't make people change, and we can't compel others to change, but we can certainly do our best to compel them. Let the Holy Spirit work on their hearts. You know, the best evidence of the gospel and of Christ is a vibrant, healthy, happy Christian. And that's what we want to be, isn't it? I want to be a success. I want to win souls for Christ. Don't you? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we can only be successful if we don't give up. And Lord, there's so many times that I just feel like cashing it and saying, forget it. But then, as Peter said, to whom would we go? Where would we go after experiencing the gospel all these years? Where would I go? It just doesn't make sense to go elsewhere. Lord, so we treasure this. We treasure the gospel. We treasure the fact that you're alive, that you were resurrected from the dead, and that you sent us back the Holy Spirit to make us into what we need to be to do the job and get you back here as soon as possible. And that is our prayer, Lord, that you would touch the hearts here today, any open heart, that you would reveal what needs to be done in each individual life to get them up to the next level and get them closer to you. Lord, there are so many things that I need to be and need to accomplish, and the older I get, the further behind I feel I am. But nevertheless, I am not discouraged, because I know that you have allowed me to know you, and to know you is to know life eternal. And we're looking forward to heaven. But in the meantime, Lord, make us reach our fullest potential, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.